Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Open your Bible with me, if you would, right there. It's important that you have your own Bible. I really want to encourage you to get a real Bible, so-called, so you can make notes, write in it, and then should the Lord tarry, which I don't think he will, but pass it on down to your kids and your grandkids, the next generation. I have my dad's Bible, my mom's Bible, my grandmother's Bible. Boy, I cherish them because there's all kinds of notes in there. And on those days that I'm missing them, I'll pull out those Bibles and I'll look at those notes, and it encourages me because once again, I know in the future, I'm going to see him in heaven. We're talking about eschatology. What in the world is that, Pastor? That's the study of end times. That's the study of prophecy. And the title of last Wednesday night and tonight's teaching is COVID, a sign of the end times. Is COVID a sign of the end times? You know, a great leader or good leaders, they give perspective. That's what I want to do tonight, is I want to give you perspective in what we're going through right now with COVID. Great leaders, good leaders also prepare their people. They give them perspective and they prepare them for the times that they're living in and the future. Great leaders and good leaders, they equip, they empower, they prepare, they give perspective to those that they're leading. And so the Bible says that the sons of Issachar understood the times that they were in. Do you understand the time that we're in right now? We're in the last of the last days. We're towards the end of the end. We could be that generation that is a part of his secret coming. Now, if you were with me last Wednesday night, you know what that's all about. His secret coming versus the second coming of Jesus Christ. His secret coming is the next major event happening for the church. You know, there are seven festivals in Jewish culture, seven. Four of them have been completed. Four of them have been fulfilled. Three yet. The next one to be filled is the Feast of the Trumpets, the Feast of the Trumpets. And the Feast of the Trumpets is when that trumpet of the sound of the archangel and the dead in Christ shall rise and we'll rise, shall rise and then we'll rise to meet them in the air is the rapture. And that's what we're talking about last Wednesday night and this Wednesday night. I'm excited. So last Wednesday night, I gave you seven reasons or seven things that when you talk about the rapture, the catching away, the secret coming of the Lord versus the second coming. And you say, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, you can go back to last Wednesday night in our archive, and that'd be better than me taking up time tonight to talk about it. You go back and review and get caught up with us. It's free. It's there for you. But I want to take you to my text, and it's Luke 21, verse 8. So if you follow along with me there at home, and he said, be on guard and be careful that you are not led astray. Somebody said that really discernment is huge for us, that the days that we're living in. We need discernment so we're not deceived and led the wrong direction. Be on guard and careful that you're not led astray, for many will come in my name, appropriating themselves the name Messiah, which belongs to me, saying that I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go out after them. Next verse. And when you hear of wars and instructions and disturbances, disorders and confusion, well, that sounds like what we're in right now, right? Confusion. Do not become alarmed. Do not have panic attacks. Do not have panic stricken and terrified, for all this must take place first, but the end will not come immediately. Wow, sounds so relevant to where we're at tonight, doesn't it? Luke 21, verse 10. Then he told them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. All right, verse 11. Then there will be mighty and violent earthquakes. You know, we've always had earthquakes, but we have more now than ever before. Is COVID a sign of the end times? Pastor, there's been greater plagues than COVID. You're right. But there hasn't been a time where there has been so many in such short time together. So everything's speeding up. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 8 that the earth is giving forth birth pains. And those of you women who have babies and you've given birth to children, you know that the closer you get to giving birth, the harder and the closer the birth pains get. That's where we're at. There will be mighty and violent earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilence, plagues. There's COVID. Malignant, contagious, we're having to wear a mask, social distancing, infectious epidemic diseases, which are deadly, devastating, and there'll be sights of terror and great signs from the heavens. Wow, I think that's right where we're at right now. And there will be a sign in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, and there'll be what? Distress. People are stressed out because of distress, trouble, anguish of nations, perplexity. Perplexity means you don't have the answer. Whoa, wow, there's so much going on right now. People trying to solve unrest and racism, bigotry and division and strife, and they're trying to solve it. And you know what? I don't think in our natural way do we have the answers to a lot of the problems we're facing. Only God. Only God. It says, without resources, left wanting, embarrassed, in doubt, not knowing which way to turn. When somebody tells me the Bible is irrelevant, I don't think they've read it lately. And the roaring, the echo of the tossing of the sea, storms, hurricanes, tsunamis. It says men swearing back and forth with the fear and the dread and the apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming on the earth. We're so, you know, caught up in fear and anxiety over the uncertainty of what is ahead of us. For the very powers of heaven will be shaken and caused to totter. Next verse. And then they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with a great transcendent overwhelming power and all of his kingly glory, majesty, and splendor. Now, when these things begin to occur, freak out. No, it doesn't say that. And this is the perspective I wanted to get to. First, I wanted to give you a list of what it said things are happening in the last days. And then I wanted to give you the response that we as Christians, Christ followers, believers are to have. Not freak out, not get depressed, but look up. He said, now when these things begin to happen, look up. Why? Because he's about to come in the clouds. It's called the secret coming, not the second coming. There's 7 years between the two. The secret coming is the rapture, and not everybody will see that. Only those. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen quicker than that. All right? It's a secret coming. It's the next major event for the church, the rapture and the catching away. Look up, lift up your head, speaks of an attitude, lifting up of your head. He's the lifter of our soul. Thank you, Lord. He's the lifter of our soul. He's the lifter of our soul. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. He's the lifter of our soul. Because your redemption is drawing near. Oh my goodness, how powerful is that? So what should be our response? Our response should be that when we see all these things happening, which are going on right now, we shouldn't freak out. We should look up. What does it mean? We should expect. We should live every day like he's coming today, but plan like he's not coming for 100 years, right? Now, I gave you 7 things that it should do when you understand the doctrine of the rapture or the catching away of the church, or his secret coming, 7 things he'll do for you. Tonight, I want to give you 7 things that will arm you for the days that we're living in right now. 7 things that will equip you. Last week, I talked about what is the rapture. I talked about, you know, why is there a rapture? And when will the rapture take place? We answered those questions last Wednesday night. So let me read you some scriptures. I want to read some scriptures to you. And follow along, because God speaks through his word, and the whole purpose, the big idea right now, is to arm you for the days that we live in. The Bible says that we're put on the armor of God so we can stand fast and stand strong. So a good leader will give perspective, and a good leader will arm you, equip you, and prepare you. So we're going to read scripture, and then I'm going to give you seven things, okay? Look what the Bible says, Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God, his favor and blessing, has come forward and appeared to the deliverance from sin and eternal salvation for all mankind. So say it with me, the grace of God, the grace of God. But look at this, Titus 2:12, next verse. It trains us. Notice that the grace of God, which is the favor and the power of God, the grace of God is everything God is, everything God has, and everything God can do. The grace of God. So where are you going with this? We have grace for COVID. We have grace for this season. We have grace for virtual school. We have grace for virtual work. We have grace for virtual church. We have grace for the season that we're in. When our world has been turned upside down, there's a grace for this season. All right? So his grace trains us. I love that. The grace of God is a teacher. The grace of God will train us on what to reject and what to receive. The grace of God will train us how to live in COVID 2020 in the fall. It trains us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, worldly passionate desires, and to live a self-controlled, upright, spiritually whole life in this present world. That is a mouthful. But isn't that amazing? That the grace of God will train us how to be good parents right now, how to be spiritual, how to be Christ-like, how to be godly in an ungodly world. And let me just inject this for a parenting thing here, that the number one goal of a parent, the number one goal of a parent is to lead their children to God. The number one goal, the number one purpose of a parent is to lead their children to God. You can't force religion on your kids. You can't make them come to God. You can't make them receive Christ. No, I'm not talking about that. But your goal as a parent is to live Christ before them, is to live a godly life, is to be godly in an ungodly world. Your number one purpose as a parent is to lead your children to God. And notice that he gives you grace to train us in the season that we live to live not a compromised life, not a mediocre life, not a watered down Christianity, but to live a spiritually whole life in this present world. Present world will be 2020 COVID in the fall. All right? I love the word of God. Don't you love God's word? Amen. All right, look at this. Awaiting and looking. Now we're talking about getting armed, being armed and dangerous, being armed, being prepared, being equipped to live in the fall of 2020. All right? Awaiting and looking. So it's talking about expectation. Awaiting and looking for the fulfillment of our blessed hope. The blessed hope, I taught you last Wednesday night, is the rapture, the secret coming, not the second coming, the secret coming. And it's that blessed hope. Even the glorious appearing of our Lord, our God and Savior, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So what should be our attitude? We should be looking up and not freaking out. We should be looking around for opportunities to share Christ. We should be seizing the moment to make a difference with our life. Next verse, it says here in Titus 2:14, he gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us and purchase for us freedom. Ooh, I like that. Side note, you know, we have a wonderful ministry here every Thursday night called Celebrate Recovery, and we help people find freedom. It's huge. Freedom from all sin and purify themselves a people to be peculiar, his own people who are eager. Watch this now. Eager and enthusiastic about living a life that's filled with good works. Whoa. You and I right now, what should be our focus? Not panicking, not coasting, not pausing, not just doing nothing, not just feeling sorry for ourselves, not just waiting till it's over. No, no. Right now, we should be eager and enthusiastic to live a life full of beneficial, good deeds, good works. Now, remember, a good leader will share with the people the right perspective, and he or she will prepare them for the times they're living in. Boy, tonight the word is so powerful, packed full of principles, guidance, and wisdom. Look what he says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. What is this all about? Well, you ever heard somebody say, you know, preacher, you know, pastor, I've heard about the second coming of Jesus all my life. He hasn't come yet. Well, he's not slack. He's going to keep his word. He said he's coming back. He's coming back. And as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any perish. Jesus doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. Black, white, yellow, brown, young, and old. Jesus, you know, he wants no one to go to hell. Hell was not made for people. It was made for demons and Satan. For the day of the Lord, now remember, I'm giving you scriptures to build doctrine, to build the right thinking. It's important that we're thinking right, so we're believing right, so we're living right right now. So our life is full of good works so that we're looking, we're expecting, we're eager, we're enthusiastic, we're on fire, we're excited about what God is doing in us, through us, and with us at this moment. Whoa. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's a secret coming, okay? Come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, in other words, he's saying, knowing a little bit about the future and eschatology or prophecy, knowing a little bit about the future, then it should bring change in our life. It should bring change in our life. You see, those who are ready are excited about a message like this. Those who are not ready don't want to hear it. Seeing then that all these things are be dissolved, what kind of a person should you be? What kind of life should you be living? What kind of attitudes? What kind of a conversation, conduct, character? See, when I understand end time events, it should change my character. It should change my conduct, and it should change my conversation. It should change me. It should motivate me, inspire me to live a holy life, to live a pure life, to live close to God, to want to know God, to make God known. In fact, to lead people to a God who's for them and let them know he has a purpose for their life. Again, I'm just giving you some scriptures. I'm giving you some doctrine, the Word of God, and then we're going to leave you with seven takeaways. Looking for, oh my goodness, we should be looking for it, expecting it, working for it, hastening. Do y'all see that word? Y'all, all you host right there, do y'all see that word? Hastening. You mean you can hurry up the return of Christ? According to this verse, you can. What? Looking for and hurrying up the coming of the day of the Lord. How in the world do you do that? You do it by what Pastor Kim was talking about earlier. You share your story. Everybody's got a story. You've got a story. I've got a story. And there are people that only your story will reach. They'll only be reached through your story. Notice that we're to keep looking. We're to be eager. We're to be enthusiastic. We're to occupy. We're to be working. We're to seize the moment. We're to be excited about life and our future. It should give us hope. It should cause us to change our character, live right, be holy, get close to God. Plug into a local church. Be a part of a gathering, a small group, a watch party. You know, take life seriously. Be diligent. Be sober. Be on guard. I'm giving you things that will prepare us for fall of 2020 with COVID. Looking for and hastening. How do we? By sharing our story, by sharing our faith, by witnessing, by good works, by leading people to a God who's for them, we can hurry up the second coming of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire will be dissolved and the elements that melt, it's fervent heat, new heaven and a new earth. All right. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. No sin, no sorrow, no pain anymore. No sin, no sorrow, no pain anymore. So look what he says. Behold, beloved, now are we the sons of God. I like this, 1 John 3:2. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, what is that? The rapture. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So this is the verse, 1 John 3:2, about the rapture, the secret coming. But look, if we believe it, it should change our behavior. If we believe what we're talking about Jesus coming back, and he's coming back soon, and right now, everything that's going on has been predicted in the Bible, and for the festivals, the feasts have been fulfilled through Christ, and we're ready for the fifth one of there were four in the spring and three in the fall, and the next one is the Feast of the Trumpets, and that's a type and shadow. The trumpet will sound, and the archangel, you know, will blow that trumpet and with a shout, and we go up to meet Jesus in the air. That's the rapture. It's about to happen soon. When, Pastor? I don't know. But I want to live like today, but plan like he's not coming back in my lifetime. I want to make my life count. I know you do too. And every person that has this hope, what? Blessed hope that you believe in this. What? In him, he purifies himself even as he is pure. What is that? He wants to get right, wants to live right, wants to get close to God, wants to get rid of the habits and the bondages and the freedoms. And you know what? We can help you with that. We can help you with that. Maybe you're visiting tonight online. You know, join a watch party. Join a small group. If you're here locally, you know, join us this weekend on the campus. You can be in the drive-in outside. You can be in the Rock Express, not even in the sanctuary. There's all kinds of opportunities. But here it's saying, if I believe in his appearing, then I'm going to change the way I'm living, and I'm going to want to be more like him. I'm going to want to be closer to him. I'm going to want to make some adjustments. I'm going to want to make some corrections. I'm going to want to be like Christ. I'm going to want to live a godly life, not perfect, but a godly life in an ungodly world. Takeaways. Now, in closing, as the team comes out, let me give you seven things that we've just discussed in all of these scriptures. Here's our takeaway. In other words, what we should remember and apply so we're equipped and armed and prepared for the fall of 2020, COVID right here. We all have been given God's grace. Do y'all remember that? And God's grace, what does it do? It empowers us to be overcomers. Grace of God. We're not doing this in our own power. Thanks be unto God. I couldn't. We're not doing this in our own strength. No, we as Christians have been given the grace of God that will train us how to live a spiritual life and lead our kids to God. Whoa, that's awesome. We don't have to cave in. We don't have to compromise. We don't have to be like the world. We can be more like Christ, and we can make a difference, and we can be salt, and we can be light. Number three, keep looking for and expecting his return. I hope he comes back tonight before the end of this service. Look for and expect his return every day. What did we read tonight? Be rich in good works. We should live a life that's full of beneficial deeds and good works for other people. We want to look for opportunities to be a blessing, to do random acts of kindness. Here we are and serve timber. How cool is that? We're so excited about that. We want to focus. Now, we're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. Do y'all remember that? We're not saved by good works. In other words, we can't work our way to heaven, but we're saved for good works. Number five, have a growth mindset. Have a growth mindset. What is that? Remember 1 John 3, 2 and 3? If I believe in his appearing, then I'm going to purify myself. I'm going to want to change. I'm going to want to get better. I want to be my best version of me I can be every day. It's a process. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight, but it happens over time. So here at Church on the Rock, we have a growth mindset. We're growing in our faith. We're growing in our character. We're growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. That's what we should be doing right now. We should be working on the fruit of the Spirit. We should be working on how to respond to a world that's chaotic, a world that's in crisis, a world that is full of confusion. Right now, we have opportunities like never before to let our light shine. Number six, hasten his return. How do we do that? We already said it. We hasten his return by winning people to Christ. Pastor, I don't know the Bible. I'm new to this. I get it. But you have a story. You can tell people what you were like before you met Christ, and now after you've met him, how he's changed your life. You know, I was talking to someone the other day out at the drive-in church after service, and they were telling me what they were like before they met Christ, and now they were telling me they come to Celebrate Recovery every Thursday night, our small groups, and they said, now that I've met Christ and I'm planted at Church on the Rock, I'm a part of a small group, I go to Celebrate Recovery, now my life has totally changed. And they begin to just tell me, I'm not addicted to that, I've overcome that. And they weren't saying they were perfect, but they were saying how Christ had changed them. Amazing, isn't it? You might be watching tonight, and maybe somebody told you you could never change. I'm here to tell you, you can change if you want to change, and ask God to help you change. And we're here to help you as well. So hasten his return by witnessing, sharing your faith. And then number 7, live with hope daily, the blessed hope. Don't let the world steal your hope. Don't let the world take your hope, but keep that hope before you every day. Do you know the last prayer in the Bible, what it is? Got a little trivia question for you. Do you know what it is? The last prayer in the Bible. Now, the last book in the Bible is Revelation. Not Revelations and not Revolution, but it's Revelation. And the last prayer in the Bible, chapter 22, the last prayer, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." And they answered and said, "Even so, come quickly." The last prayer in the Bible was praying that Jesus would come back quickly. You and I should live with a daily hope. He's coming back, and he's coming back quickly. I hope I've helped you tonight in giving you perspective of what's going on in the fall in Serve Timber here at Church on the Rock in St. Louis. I hope I have prepared you and giving you some things, the grace of God and what to do and how to think and the right way to see things right now, how to respond. I hope it's been beneficial to you. Before we leave tonight, though, I want to give you an opportunity that if you don't know the Lord, I want to lead you to a God who's for you. And maybe you know the Lord, but you say, man, Pastor, I get it. I need to make some adjustments. I need to make some changes. The Bible says if you believe he's coming back, you're going to purify your life. In other words, you want to get some things out of your life you know you should get out of your life. And you want to get more of Christ in your life. You say, Pastor, I want to recommit tonight. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody, pray this prayer with me. You're saying, I want God's love. I want his forgiveness. I want his acceptance. I want to be in his family. You know, it's so important. If you want peace, people who have real peace know where they're going when they die. People who have real peace know about eternity and where they're going to spend it. Now, the people who have real peace are going to spend their eternity in heaven, right? So I want you to have that perfect peace. I want you to have that. But without knowing where you're going after you die or throughout eternity, you're going to lack peace. It's going to rob you of your peace. So let me lead you in this prayer. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.